everyone, and welcome to Minute 131 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Jeanette Ward of The Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome to the show, Jeanette.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm able to get people to start watching this movie and enjoy it, because I know that you haven't watched it before I introduced you to it, so
yes, so that you are.
We'll talk about that at some point. We'll talk about it at some point that week, this week, cool, I'm okay. Sure. It'll be fun to get your perspective on it. You know, maybe you shouldn't have watched anything. You should just watch these 5 minutes, and that would be it.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah. First of all, Happy New Year to everybody. Welcome to 2022. Hopefully it'll be better than 2021 and 2020 and 2019 and anything before that, you know?
Can only keep getting better.
Exactly. Here's to a great year. Let's start it off with a bang. This minute actually starts off with Sedgwick clipping the lock on the bicycle and goes all the way to Hilt's, hiding in the overgrowth, waiting for something. So yeah, as we discussed last week, or as we've discussed over the last few weeks, the escape has happened. The prisoners have scattered all over different parts of Poland or Germany, wherever, you know, they're actually, wherever they actually are along the way. Now we start getting little snippets of what each of these characters are doing as they're going their way. Friday, we started talking about Sedgwick, where he was just walking around a little courtyard, noticed some bicycles, walked over to the rack of bikes, pulled out a wire cutter from his pocket, which is something that most people carry around with them, you know, when you're trying, after you escape a German prisoner of war camp, takes out these wire cutters and goes to clip the lock on one of the bikes. Now, my question...
There's one thing you learn from this minute. It's that you should always be carrying a significant wire cutter. Not just a wire cutter, because he cuts a bike chain, so... A significant cutter. You should always have one with you. You never know when you need it.
That's true, but that's only if you're somebody who might be, you know, stealing bikes. Is that something that you have a little experience with here? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Jeanette?
I've never stolen a bike, but I feel like that type of tool would be useful if you need to break into a junkyard. I feel like every junkyard I've seen in movies is held together by one of those chains between two, you know, chain link fence doors. So
what,
I feel
do you
like
stand
it's
by me?
Any movie.
Instead of climbing over the fence, you know, watch out for Chopper.
People are trying to break into anything. It's always a lock with a chain. And so clearly, Sedgwick was on point, took that with him when he left and was ready to go.
Well, he's got everything in his bag there. I mean, he has a very large trunk that must be filled with lots of goodies of things that he's going to need along the way.
You know, here's something I noticed with this minute that I have a question about.
Sure, go ahead.
That kit, the box, the suitcase that he is carrying with him that he made sure to leave with, he just flips down the back of the bike and sets it on there and it's good to go. Now, I'm not an avid bike rider, but I have a bike and I ride it from time to time. Occasionally, I have to put stuff on the back. It's never just flopped down and sat there as efficiently as it does in this movie. Please explain to me the mechanics of this carrying rack on this bicycle.
No, but it's isn't it strapped in?
I didn't see him put a strap on.
I think when he rides away, you can actually see that there is some sort of strap on there.
It's something I cut out. These are the things you notice when you look at it in this level of detail.
Yeah, completely.
I was just so impressed that he just put the suitcase on there and it stayed. And I
maybe
kept thinking,
maybe it's because it's properly balanced. You know.
Yeah. Listen, maybe it's one of those that just works on gravity or it clicks into place. But he also just rides away and it stays there. And I was thinking, my goodness. What an efficient bike rack that is.
Maybe he has like a large magnet inside.
Yes. Also, certainly plausible.
Right. Now, so you're right. I mean, you don't see him strap it on there or whatever. He just places it. But as he's driving away, as he's riding away, you can see that there is some sort of wire holding it in place.
What I'm here for, to notice when suitcases are not strapped down.
Exactly.
And then are strapped down.
Correct. Now, whether this is something that he himself did on his own or some production assistant did, in order to make it seem a little more, you know, maybe they were having trouble when they were filming it that it kept falling down, and they said,
yes,
"All right, we have to figure out how we're going to do this. You know what? Let's strap it on, and no one will notice.
Should we film that? Should we film him strapping it? No, no one will notice. No one will ever mention that.
Who's going to be doing?
Sorry, guys.
In 58 years from now, or 59 years from now, now that it's 2022, who's going to be doing a minute by minute podcast on this movie that someone's going to actually try and pay attention?
Listen, I noticed, because I know you can't just slap a suitcase on the back of a bike and have it stay there when he, because then he hops on and he rides away at a very leisurely pace, at a very Sunday afternoon bike ride pace, and the suitcase stays there perfectly. And I thought to myself, well, that's impossible.
And it's also at a very strange angle. Did you see the angle that the suitcase is sitting in?
Yes. You see that I got stuck on this suitcase situation. I was like, oh, yes, the bolt cutters in the pocket. Sure, that makes sense. He just escaped from prison. Of course, he's got bolt cutters in his pocket. I'm good with that. Slapping the suitcase on there and having it stay perfectly, because it's not like it's upright or sideways. It is flat on this thing that's balanced on a bike, and it doesn't go anywhere. And at no point do we see him strap it on. And okay, perhaps I'm making too much of this, but
no, not at all. That is what we're here for. We want to have these type of conversations.
I also have to say I'm very grateful that these are the minutes I got, because, and not that the entirety of the movie is not shot beautifully. It is. It's all shot beautifully. But I get some parts where they're out in the world, and the little town that he's in where he's stealing a bike, beautiful little town, gorgeous little sequence, you know. And again, as he's riding away, if this was any other movie, it would just be kind of background, very pleasant guy on bike ride.
Exactly. And nobody's screaming at him. Nobody notices, you know, he tries to do it in as inconspicuous way as possible. But,
right.
You know, when he's stealing the bike, there's no one around. But as soon as he gets on the bike and starts driving, you see people
there's
moving
people.
Back. Then there's people, you know. It's like
I know some of those people saw him clip that, because he spends a lot of time, like, looking around, like, okay, no one is seeing me. I'm going to take these giant bolt cutters out of my pocket, clip this, and get on. And you're thinking, well, clearly the town is deserted. And then, of course, as he rides off, there's a dozen people or so wandering around.
Yeah.
None of them saw him steal that bike.
Exactly.
Or if they did, they don't care.
Well, apparently it's not their bike. We don't have like some teenager running after him saying, "That's my bike, that's my bike, stop."
I can only assume the bike belongs to some sort of delivery person who has the best rack on the back to hold things, because obviously that's what we have here.
Right. I mean, I like the fact, I mean, we discussed this a little bit on Friday, but I like the fact that, you know, he's perusing the different bikes to figure out which one's the best one for him to take.
Which one will fit his suitcase the best?
Apparently.
That's what he's doing.
No, which one will fit his suitcase and it won't fall off?
Right, exactly.
You know, no,
I've made the right call.
I tried to do a little bit of research and I was unsuccessful in finding out what type of bike this is. So I got to, you know. If anyone out there knows what type of bike he stole and why he stole this particular bike, please let us know. It would be very fascinating for us to find out, you know, that, you know, this was the top of the line bike at the time that has a, you know, the rack is at a certain angle.
Top shelf luggage rack.
That you can put a, you know, a big suitcase with a, apparently a ventriloquist dummy on the inside, you know. What, it doesn't look like that to you?
It does. It really does. Now that you mention it, that's exactly what it looks like. That suitcase, man.
I mean, you missed this. We discussed this already 2 weeks ago. But, you know, when he was going through the tunnel itself in the original script, he actually hits the side of the tunnel and causes a cave-in with his bag.
That bag causes so many problems. And
exactly. And apparently that is something that happened in the real escape, that someone bumped into it and there was a little bit of a cave-in on the way.
Oh, man.
But for some reason, they decided to cut it out of the movie.
Hey,
in
gotta get to the good stuff. So, yeah. You know, the bike stealing.
In the pseudo sequel, they actually show it. There is that part where someone, the pseudo sequel is the Great Escape 2, The Untold Story. I think that's what it is. Yeah, and so that one's based more on the real story, and there they actually have someone hitting the, you know, one of the poles as they're
and
going
a partial
through
collapse.
And a partial collapse, which also caused the fact that only 76 got out.
Yeah,
but yeah. And then he just starts pedaling away. We get to see him.
Like I said, very leisurely, beautiful setting, gorgeous little town, folks out walking around, and he's just casually riding away.
I wonder if this is supposed to be Zagin. You know, if this is the actual, you know, town right outside of the camp, you know, that these people are not yet on alert. They don't know.
That could be. And at this point, it's got to be very, very early in the morning, right? Because the escape is at night.
Yeah. Well, so we don't know what time he got out, but it's relatively early in the morning. But with the number of people in the street, I would say it's at least 8 o'clock in the morning. That would be my assumption. I could be wrong.
Depends on the day of the week. Do we know what day of the week this is?
I believe it's supposed to be Sunday.
Okay, so people on the way to church? On the way back from church?
Could be. It's very possible. It's also
because they're dressed nicely.
I mean, we also know that sunrise was at like 5 a.m.
Oh, wow. All right.
So he
people on the way to the bakery to pick up their goods for the day.
That is possible. There is that possibility. Now, you mentioned the fact, you know, once he starts writing, we start seeing people. What if you really pay attention, you can, as soon as they give us the shot of his back as he's writing, so he starts pedaling away, and then to the left-hand side, someone starts walking, meaning that this person was really close when he stole it. You know, if you look at the second 18, look at second 18, and you'll be able to see it. There's no way that this person didn't notice.
Yeah,
because he was walking
towards him as he was stealing the bike.
Exactly.
Listen, the people in this maybe this is a town full of blind people.
Well, a bunch of Polish people, you know, they've been taught that, you know, when since they're under German occupation, don't look at anything that's going on.
Don't get involved. This could be. Who knows what's happening here? Do not get involved.
That's right. Yeah. I know nothing. I see nothing.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because this is the only part of the movie that deals with a bike, I decided to throw out some trivia questions to you about bicycles in movies.
Oh, boy, I'm excited. Notoriously bad at trivia. Let's do it.
Well, first of all, can you name any? I found four movies that are specifically about bike riders. The entire movie is based on the fact that this person's occupation is that they're a bike rider. Can you think of any of those movies?
Is there a Lance Armstrong biopic?
I'm not talking about those type of things. But you're right. There is one about him. I'm trying to remember what that was not one of the ones I thought of, but
okay,
you're right.
Good. The one that comes to mind first is, of course, I think it's Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where doesn't he have to go after his bike that whole movie?
Okay, that will go to that's the next category that we're going to talk about.
The other one comes to mind is not based on a person riding a bike, but I can't get past the image of the Wicked Witch riding her bike and then transforming into the witch on her broom.
Okay, that's also in the next category. We've two categories here, but that's good. No, so the four that I found. Cool.
What is the Kevin Bacon bike delivery Quicksilver?
Yes, very good.
Wow, pulled that out of nowhere.
Okay, here's one, Kevin Costner. Oh,
there's a Joseph Gordon-Levitt one,
yes,
too.
Yes, there is. Yes,
there's a bike one. I saw that in the theater. I don't remember.
That's Premium Rush.
Premium Rush, saw that one.
Okay.
Okay, so listen, that's two.
No,
come
that's
on.
Great, that's great. Kevin Costner?
No.
American Flyers.
No.
Okay, and
that's
okay. And the fourth one that I thought of is a classic foreign film from Italy from 1948, The Bicycle Thief.
I'm going to take your word on that one.
That's actually a great movie. It's about, you know, a boy who steals a bike and his father makes him return it. You know, that type of thing.
Oh, all right.
And his father goes on a search to find the actual bike's owner. Okay, so now we'll move into the second category, which you've already mentioned two of them. All right.
Yep.
I found eight movies that have a bike as an integral part in the plot, but it's not necessarily a movie about someone who's a bike rider. So, obviously, you got Pee-wee's Big Adventure, as you mentioned.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, The Wizard of Oz.
And The Wizard of Oz. Can you think of any others?
No, I keep thinking of which Muppet movie is it where they're all riding bikes, and you just spend time thinking, like, those Muppets are riding bikes.
Okay, so that is on my list also. You do have the Muppet movie?
The Muppet movie, okay. So the original.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, boy. No, I'm not. No others are popping to mind immediately.
Okay, some of them you're going to actually kick yourself for.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, first one that I didn't know until I looked it up, Jumanji. Basically, the kid's bike is stolen, and that's what starts him deciding to go play the game.
Wow, yeah, okay. No, I would not have remembered that.
Okay, you have The Sound of Music.
Of course. Yep,
you know,
of course.
All riding bicycles.
Just in the curtain clothes.
Exactly. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to get to something that you might be kicking yourself a little more for. We have Goonies, where the kids are all riding on their bikes the whole way.
Sure.
And then you get Bram... You know, have to, you know, ride the little little girl's bike.
Yep.
Okay. The Karate Kid.
Yeah,
when he gets pushed down the the ravine, you know, while he's on his bike.
Yeah.
And Mr. Miyagi fixes the bike.
Okay, okay.
All right, now this one you're really going to kick yourself for. Think of an alien creature and a bicycle.
Crap. Mac and me.
Close? What's Mac and
no,
me?
No, that's a wheelchair.
But what is Mac and me? Thank you. E.T.
Is E.T.
Mac and me. Mac and me is...
I was in the right wheelhouse. Yes. I just had the wrong movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, of course, E.T. colon the extraterrestrial and yes. his adventures on Earth. Yeah, I hate that movie.
Okay, you might hate it, but it's still very iconic. I mean, Amblin still uses that as their
logo. As the logo. Their logo. How did that not be the first thing that... Okay, well...
That's okay. That's fine. We're here to learn, all of us. Even me. I learned from things too here.
I feel like I did much better on that than I was expecting to. So,
there you go.
Hey.
So we got 9 movies. All right. Great. All right.
Nice.
So we're going to continue with the minute because we haven't even gotten to the halfway point of the minute. There's another. We have the whole Steve McQueen aspects of the minute. So we get a shot of the countryside and we get to see all these different. See a road with all these different posts on different sides of the road, and then we slowly see Steve McQueen's head pop up. Hilt pops up. He's looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. Then he pulls out a piano wire, which I'm still trying to figure out where he got the piano wire from.
Here's what I thought. I thought that he had dismantled a wire fence that is there because he's on what I would assume is some sort of farmland. Again, beautifully shot. This whole countryside sequence is gorgeous. I assumed he dismantled a fence that he was next to and takes the wire from the fence and then goes across the street with it.
Okay, that's actually a very good idea because in the original script it says that he took piano wire. So, you know, my I just figured the same way that Cedric, you know, decided to make sure to take a wire cutter with him. So, Hiltz made sure to take some piano wire with him.
You
never know when you're going to need piano wire.
Dismantled a fence, and then whatever fence he dismantled, now those goats are completely gone. The sheep, they're wandering the countryside because he's dismantled
cows?
The fence. Whatever's in the background there. Unidentified quadrupeds because they're too far away.
Exactly.
So he undoes that fence and then runs the wire of some sort across the road.
Yes. And I like the way that he does it. He ties it around. You know, he does three different spins and then he spins in another way, 4 different ways. It looks like he's doing a pretty efficient job that he's doing it so quickly.
Yeah.
And then he crouches across the road, which this place looks completely deserted, unlike where Cedric was. So, you know, who's he trying to crouch away from? You know, he's making sure that nobody sees him.
But again, if it's early in the morning and he's in farm country, farmers are up at that hour doing, you know, tending to their unidentified quadrupeds.
Apparently. And then he crouches across the road, reaches the other side of the post, which... Again, it strangely looks like he does this at an angle. It's not even straight.
What I was just going to point out. There's a post directly across the road from him, but instead of going directly across, he goes kitty corner across. Is that more efficient when trying to catch a motorcycle?
I don't know. I've never tried this.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to assume this is the only way to do it because who would know better than Steve McQueen?
Apparently. He didn't want to use the other post because it's too close to the bush, and then they wouldn't be able to get it. He wouldn't get into the shot. That will.
Maybe it's because this post that he ends up going to is closer to the camera, and as you know, Steve McQueen is nothing. Movie star first.
Exactly.
Everything else after.
Okay.
So you gotta get that face right to the camera.
Right. And then what he does is he pulls the wire to make sure that it's nice and tight there, and then he wraps it around. And ties it around here. And this side he ties, the second side he doesn't tie as efficiently as the first side.
No.
The first side, you know, he does, you know, he spins it around 3 times the post. And then he twists the wire, you know, firmly. And here he just wraps it around 3 times. And it stays. You know, another movie magic that makes something like this stay in place.
It reminds me of the amount of struggling I do with a twist tie on like a loaf of bread. You know, when you're trying to get the... twist tie back on the bag of bread is around over the twist just hoping that wire and never works. It's gonna pop off the next time you open the bread. So
exactly. And then he hides in the underbrush or overgrowth,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it.
He ducks down where the, because this road has I would say a low shoulder where it rolls right into a ditch, and then he's just hiding in the ditch. You know, when they tell you the way to avoid a tornado is to get out of your car and lay down in the ditch at the side of the road, this is what he's doing.
Yes, basically. You know, like what they did in Diner, you know, where they just flipped the car over and, you know, made it seem as if they got into a crash. You know, that type of thing. You know, you have to bend, no one will notice, that type of thing. But
a lot of great prop work on his part.
Yeah, I mean, we can discuss this a little more tomorrow, but, you know, let's just leave people with a little bit of a question here that, you know, why does he think that putting a wire across the road is going to help him at this point? You know, we'll find out tomorrow what he actually snags with that. But how does he know this? We don't hear that sound. The only sound, I mean, this minute has amazing music. I mean, the whole movie has amazing music. But mm-hmm, the music in this minute is just perfectly done because it gives us hopeful notes, you know, for both Cedric and Hiltz as they're both trying to escape.
Yeah, it perfectly illustrates that the point of the score is to enhance the emotion of the film, right?
Yes.
And for Cedric and his lovely leisurely bike ride, the score is very much like, hey, leisurely bike ride music. And then when it flips over to McQueen and his wire work, for lack of a better term, it amps up a little more action-packed, a little more get ready, things are coming. The score in this movie, it can be a bit jarring because it changes so abruptly from scene to scene, but it perfectly enhances each scene that it's in.
Yeah. Completely. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about minute 131?
No, the score was my last note, so I think we have covered that quite well.
All right.
Well.
Excellent. Why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Well, you can find my movie reviews over at my site, which is the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl, which you mentioned at jwardadventures.blogspot.com. Feel free to check me out there. I just write some general reviews of movies I've seen.
All right, and while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to today's show. You can send us an email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And our Twitter account is greatescapemxm. So, Jeanette, you want to come back again tomorrow?
I would be happy to. Thank you for asking.
Great. All right. So, we shall see everyone tomorrow. And until then, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!